All right. I'd like to welcome everybody here at church, as well as our online community, whether you're from Jekyll Island or Jakarta, you know, Amelia Island or Amsterdam, welcome. It's good to have everybody here. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 26. It's a study that we started last week where Isaac dug some wells. And if y'all remember, Isaac doesn't occupy too much real estate in the Bible, but he's one of the patriarchs, one of the founding fathers of the Jewish faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Only one chapter really dedicated to Isaac. And he did something amazing. It took a lot of faith, because when the famine hit the land, and famine comes to all of us, God told them to stay. So obeying God when it doesn't make sense, that's kind of what we looked at. And he did some other things, too, about digging a well. So he obeyed God, and he dug some wells. What I'd like to do now is kind of look at the wells that Isaac dug, because do y'all know that every single one of us is a revival carrier? It goes back to a promise that Jesus made in John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38, that when he stood up at the feast and he says, "If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And any man that comes unto me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." So every one of you has the ability to bring Jesus to your family, to your community, to this world. We are revival carriers. And I want to look at the revival carriers that we are, and some of the things that Isaac did, because God speaks to every generation that's coming on up. I see some gray-haired and white-haired people. God has spoken to your generation, my generation, graying and whiting, and to our younger generation. So whether you're young or whether you're old, God is calling you to bring a revival carrier. So how do we do that? There's some lessons here that I think will be very appropriate for the church and for us individually. So let's kind of jump right in. Genesis chapter 26. We're going to look at the first verse, verse 18, and kind of dig into that. Then we'll move into some of the other verses. So first off, remember, God called Isaac to go stay in a land that didn't make sense because there was a famine. There was no food. Apparently, there was no water either. So Genesis chapter 26, verse 18, "And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them." So we're going to see two classes of wells that Isaac digs. The first class of well that Isaac digs is actually wells that he redug because they had been dug before by his father Abraham. And what had happened was, is after those wells had been dug, and if y'all remember from last week's sermon, when you dug a well, it's kind of like claiming the land and claiming the territory. Wells are very necessary in a desert life in order to have water. If you don't have water, you're going to thirst to death. But he redug the wells of Abraham. This is the first lesson that I hope we can get out. And if you're taking notes, I hope you write it down. Not everything that has gone before, not everything from a former generation is a bad thing. There are lessons for our young people to learn from what our forefathers had done, not only in the Christian church, but in the faith as well. The first thing that he did was he redug the wells that his father Abraham dug. So, before he dug anything new, he went, underline this, to what was already established, and he began to redig those wells. He went to what was already established. You know, the fact of the matter is that in our generation, so many younger people sometimes think because they're woke. You know what? Everything in the past is just bad. Everything the church has done is just wrong. Everything that's gone before is so archaic, it's so outdated, it just doesn't have any use to us anymore. But I'm here to tell you, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Not everything that has been done over the last 2,000 years of church history has been wrong or has been bad. And quite frankly, it's time for us to redig some of the wells that have been dug before. Not everything that has gone before is irrelevant. Not everything that's gone before is obsolete. Make no mistake about it. Every generation is called to dig wells in their generation. And we're not to throw out everything that has been done in the generations before us. And quite frankly, some of us need to redig some of the wells that have gone before. Some of us in our generation need to pick up a shovel and we need to reopen the well of the Word of God. That's never outdated. Some of us need to reopen the well of prayer or the well of church or the well of evangelism or of justice or of righteousness. Maybe it's the well of forgiveness that has been clogged up in your own life. Because there are some things that never go out of fashion. It doesn't matter how many tattoos you have. It doesn't matter how skinny your jeans are. Some things don't go out of fashion. Prayer is never out of fashion. The Word of God is never out of fashion. Going to church is never out of fashion. Prayer, evangelism, justice, holiness, righteousness, these things don't go out of fashion. They can get clogged up in our lives, but they don't go out of fashion. And so what we need are generations that are going to stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to redig some of these wells instead of just walking away from them. Instead of chalking them up to irrelevancy or being archaic and saying they can't offer anything to the newer generation, it's time to redig some of those wells. It's time to pick up a shovel and say, you know what? I'm going to redig that well of the Word of God. I'm going to redig that well of worshiping because these things never get out of date. Holiness, sanctification. Some of us think, maybe not in this church, but some people may think, you know what? That whole idea about purity, that's just so last century. But sanctification is not last century. Holiness is not last century. Obedience is not last century. It's being a follower of Jesus Christ. And obedience is not the same thing as legalism. Obedience is not legalism. What it is being conformed and transformed to the image of Jesus Christ, for which we all are a part of. You see, here's the thing. Some of us need to redig the old wells because some of us are missing the life and the vibrancy of life as a Christian, as Jesus followers, because some of the old wells that I've talked about have been stopped up. And because something happened along the way, because some pastor had a failing and really disappointed you, because something that the church did really offended you, you allowed your wells to get polluted, to get clogged up. And maybe. And by the way, we are not the first person to get disappointed by people around us. We are not the first generation. The church has been around for 2,000 years disappointing people. But we are part of something. We are part of something that Jesus says is the bride of Christ, made up of imperfect people. And so maybe if we're having a sense of spiritual dryness, maybe if we're having a sense of spiritual weariness, maybe it's our own spiritual immaturity, and we need to redig the wells that our fathers have dug before us. But I want you to notice something else, and it's found in Genesis chapter 26, verse 19 through 25. Not only did Isaac redig the wells that his father had dug, but Isaac dug new wells. And Isaac's servants, verse 19, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek. For those of y'all that weren't with us last week, that well actually means contention. He called it Esek because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name Sitnon. For those of y'all that weren't with us last week, the name Sitnon is where it's the Hebrew word where it's derived the word Satan. And he removed from thence and digged another well, for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Let's just pause real quick. Contention, Satan, and then rest. Do you know that if you're going to have that peace that God wants to give you, you're going to have to fight for it? Matter of fact, the book of Hebrews says, you know, labor. In order to enter into that rest, you have to work. You have to strive. In a church setting, you're going to have to forgive sometimes. in order to have the peace of God. You're going to get offended. You're going to have to forgive. You're going to have to, if I could use a colloquialism, get over it at some times. Satan is going to oppose you, and he's going to use other people to do it. He's going to use situations. He's going to use circumstances. But if you will remain faithful and true to the calling that God has placed on your life, you will find peace. So, Isaac strove, Isaac fought, and then he kept on being faithful because God had told him, stay right here. It would have been so easy to throw up his hands and run away and say, oh, I can't. Clearly this is opposition. Clearly this is Satan. I got to run away. But God said, stay here. God didn't tell him what to do after that. God never told him to dig a well. That's common sense. If I'm going to stay here, I got to make appropriate measures in order to live here. So common sense told him, dig the well. So he dug the well, and Satan got involved. Then he dug it again, and Satan got involved. And then he dug it again, remaining faithful to the promise that God said, I want you to stay here, Isaac. I'm going to bless you here, Isaac. And when he did it, the third time, he had peace. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not. For I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. He pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. So we have four wells that have been dug there. And that promise that God revealed to him is a promise that he always had, but it was because Isaac worked for it. And not only did he dig Abraham's old wells, but he dug these new wells. And I say that to say this. One of the lessons we can learn from this passage is not only do we need to redig some of the wells that our forefathers have dug, but everybody in your own life, in every generation, has new wells to dig for their generation. So we don't throw away everything from a generation that gone before us, but we do take the vital elements of the Christian faith and we bring them to bear in this generation. I want to commend Camp Creek Primitive Baptist Church for being willing to dig new wells. The very fact that people are watching us online is a new well that Camp Creek Church has dug. And you know what's funny? When we strive for these new wells, sometimes we meet contention and opposition. Because there are less informed brethren out there that oppose things like PowerPoint, videos, taping. But we all have new generations. So I want to ask our younger people and the generation that you're coming up, my young adults and my young kids, what are the wells that your generation are going to have to dig up? We have so many social media platforms right now, whether it's what are they? TikTok? Is that something? We've already invaded Facebook. We've penetrated that market. But there's podcast. I can't name them all because I'm an older generation. It's your generation. What are you going to use and what are you going to dig to make sure the streams of living water are springing forth from your platforms? It's your time. So let me thank Camp Creek Primitive Baptist Church for getting us to this point. But let me challenge our young people. Help us dig some new wells. Because God is not limited. And he can spring forth from any medium, in anywhere. And he's waiting on you to dig. It's time to pick up a shovel. So Isaac dug some new wells. And he dug it. Because we are all called, and it's kind of, and I love the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah 43, I want you to, Isaiah 43 verses 18 to 21. This is what the scripture says, because the Israelites have been in 70 years of captivity. They've been in Babylon for 7 years, and a prophecy is given to them, and this is what the Lord says. He says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old? Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. These people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. So here the Israelites are living out a 70-year sentence in exile in Babylon, and they felt like they had no future. They felt like they had no promise. And you know, a lot of us in this generation feel the same way. We feel like we're in exile. We feel like there is no future. We feel like there's just so much going on in the world around us. There's economic challenges, political challenges, racial injustice, environmental issues everywhere we turn. There's relational challenges, emotional challenges, mental health challenges, and we feel like there's no hope, no future in an exile, and it seems like there's no future at all. And in the midst of what was going on with the Israelites, just like with us, God has reminded them, you know what? I brought you out of slavery in Egypt. I did signs and wonders and miracles to bring you out of Egypt. I parted the Red Sea. I did so many miracles to bring you out of slavery. If I was faithful to you in the past, I'll be faithful to you in the future. And maybe somebody today needs to remember that, that your God has been faithful to you in the past. When it seemed like you were facing impossible circumstances, when it seemed like there was no way forward, there was no opportunity, there was no way that God could step in, that he did. And maybe you need that remembrance too. Isaac, because God made a way when there was no way. God opened a door that no man could shut. God opened an opportunity for you that should not have come. God provided for you that should never have happened. And maybe you need to be reminded, God said, I've done it before, I can do it again. See, some of us keep looking back on the old so that we can't see the new thing that God's doing. And God is saying, don't do that. Don't always look back. Dig new wells. Oh, you know, that's the well that my grandfather built. That's the well that Abraham, my daddy, built. And just keep on looking at that, and we're not digging the new wells. Isaac not only redug the wells of his father, but he dug new wells to be a blessing for him. If we keep just redigging the past, we're going to miss out on the opportunities of the future. And that's what the Lord is saying in Isaiah 43. He's saying, remember how faith, I know you're in a situation right now. You're in slavery in Babylon right now, but you were in slavery in Egypt, and I came through you for you. Get there, I'm going to come through you for you again. Don't keep up. Remember not the former things. I can do it right here, right now. And the wells of Abraham are really good, but y'all got to dig some new wells right here, right now, generation. It goes to a parable, and it's found in actually three of the Synoptic Gospels. There's Matthew. There's Mark, chapter 2 of Mark, and there's Luke in chapter 5. And let's tie these things together because I want to dig new wells. I want to be a revival character. I want to take Jesus to a hurting world. I want to, and I think everybody in this church and everybody who's watching online wants to do the same thing. Because the answer to our needs are Jesus. The answer to our loneliness is Jesus. The answer to our hurting and our heartache is always and only Jesus. Everything else is a false substitute. It may satisfy for a season, but there's no lasting power in anything other than Jesus Christ. So in John, Matthew and Mark and Luke, there's a parable that's told in those three synoptic gospels. Kids, synoptic means that those people actually saw Jesus, as opposed to the Apostle Paul, who only saw him after the resurrection. So in three of the Synoptic Gospels, there's this parable where the Pharisees come unto Jesus and they're like, why are your disciples not fasting like everybody else? And Jesus answered them in kind of a roundabout way. He's pretty good at that. And he tells a parable, and the parable is, you don't take new wine and put it in an old wine flask. And that's been preached in a way that seems to suggest, okay, what Jesus is saying there is there's a new way of doing things. Everything else was horrible, and it can't contain it. And here's the reasoning why. When you have new wine, you've got fermentation. And when it ferments, it expands with the gases, and the leather wineskin that holds the wine expands with it. So that's called an old wineskin after it's already expanded and it's been used before. I want to point out a couple of things about that idea that Jesus is really bashing the old way of doing things in favor of a new way that's coming, because that's not the lesson. And I can tell you that because when you compare the three gospel accounts of the wineskins, you've got three little nuances that kind of make all the difference in the world. Now, if all you do is read Mark's account and about the wineskin in Mark chapter 2, this is the idea you get to come away with. Old bad, new good, period. I mean, Mark is, and that's one of the reasons I love Mark, because he really just gets to the point, because he's really anxious to get to the crucifixion. I mean, he just flies through the stories, and he leaves out some details that the others put in. But if you go to the Gospel of Matthew and of Luke, and you juxtapose the two, and kids, juxtapose mean you're putting them together to kind of compare and contrast them. One of the things is that Matthew tells us, and he hints at kind of this little ambiguity, and he says in Matthew, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 17, that you put the old wine in the old flask, you put the new wine in new flask, and both are preserved. So Matthew kind of hints at new's good, old good. But then, you come to the Gospel of Luke, and it kind of ties it all together for us. And the Gospel of Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verse 39, this is what Luke says, and he says it pretty clearly. No man also, having drunk old wine straightway, desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. Get it? Okay, let's tie it all together. Because we got some old wells that we need to redig. Some of the wells that our forefathers had given to us, church elders in times past, our church forefathers, and the traditions that we have inherited. And the old wine. Now, I doubt if our kids are drinking too much wine, but generally the more aged a wine is, the better a wine is, right? We all kind of generally know that, right? No? Okay. So unless it comes in a box, the older the wine, the better it is. That's generally it is. And Luke actually confirms that. No man having drunk new wine saith, you know, because the old wine's better. That's what Luke is saying. A lot of what we have inherited through our church traditions and our forefathers that have been given to us is better. But that doesn't mean that we forget the new. So what is Jesus talking about? Is he talking about, okay, Pharisees, you know, your way of fasting stinks? He's not. As a matter of fact, in other areas of the gospel, he actually commends the practice of fasting. And really, it's not the Pharisees he had the problem with. It was the way that they were living out their life that he had the problem with. It wasn't what they taught. It's how they practiced it. So it wasn't the people, it was their practice. So what is Jesus really teaching when he's talking about the new wine and the old wine flask? What he's saying is, hey, look, it's about the people. You're asking me about my disciples and why my disciples don't fast. Well, let me tell you why my disciples don't fast. Because there's a new thing that has come. It's not about creating new structures, and it's not about creating new institutions. Because if you create a new institution, they themselves in time will become rigid old wineskins. But what this is about people who are willing to receive the teaching about what God is doing now. So the old wineskins, that's good for old wine. Don't do away with it. If you got new wine, you're going to have to put it in new skins. So it's not about throwing away the old institutions and creating new ones, because new ones will become old after a while. What this parable is teaching, this is about people who have a heart, who can take what is old and institute it today with compassion and grace and love. That's what Jesus is teaching there. So when we, in this generation, and the younger generations coming up and will be inheriting this church, you are inheriting an institution that's 2,000 years old that's based on the Word of God. It involves preaching, singing, worshiping, and praying, the four things that were given to the Church of Acts. And we've done a pretty good job about turning it over to you. And here are a couple of new things that have happened in the history of this church, which I'm thankful that we've implemented. Air conditioning. I don't know if y'all remember Sister Jetha, but I remember one time, and it just struck me like somebody hit me, and I love you, Sister Jetha, but she talked about how in the 50s and the 40s that they would have all-day preaching services where the preaching would go on for 3 and 4 hours and there was no air conditioning and it was glorious. No, it was bad. We have to be missional, but we also have to be attractional. Another new thing we've implemented electric lights. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But praise the Lord for air conditioning. That's all I got to say. And thank y'all for this thing up here too. So don't throw out the fundamentals. The old is good. Just look for new ways to release Jesus, because it's not about institutions and adding softball teams and basketball teams. It's about Jesus. And it's about you. And so what we need, young people, is we need a generation who are willing to stand up and look for new ways to share Jesus with the world and dig new wells. What we need everybody in this congregation is for us to introspectively look at our own lives and say, what area in my life has been clogged up? What wells do I need to redig? Do I need to redig the well of forgiveness? Do I need to redig the well of sanctification? Do I need to redig the well of prayer? And when we do that, we can release pure living water, because that's the promise of Jesus Christ.